This is for the men who never settle. The ones who believe only quitters end a game in a tie. The type of guys who choose the bar with the biggest TVs to overcompensate for theirs at home. This is the Lodge mentality. This is Twin Peaks.
The Zone is presented by Guaranteed Foods, delivering all-natural food to Midwestern families since 1958. Enjoy healthier food, more free time, free delivery, and better value. Go to GuaranteedFoods.com.
All right, we continue right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Jason Anderson with you. Sterling Holmes, Dylan Michaels, Mick Schaefer hanging out with us on this, what is a beautiful, beautiful Wednesday edition of the show. He is presented by Empower Payments, boosting your business and charity with every transaction. Learn more at EmpowerPayments.com. Mick.
Hey.
You look so good today. You look relaxed.
Thank you.
You're out enjoying the day.
I've enjoyed the day. Day's been enjoyed. This day's so nice. It's driving a friend to the airport. That's how nice
that's
day is.
Oh, that's awesome. I didn't know if maybe you played a little golf or something.
Did. Oh, I hit the range. Yeah.
Hit the range.
For about 30 minutes.
What'd you shoot today? I was going to ask.
Yeah, you're
wearing a polo, some 7-inch inseam shorts, so I assume it's a pretty good guess.
Yeah. How many inches that is? These aren't golf shorts.
You looked right at his waist and said that's 7 inches.
Yeah,
it was a very quick observation.
Really, really quick.
I know what seven.
He also had the backward hat and the sunglasses on. You look comfortable today.
Thank you so much. You look like you're just out enjoying the day.
You know? I am.
It's a gorgeous day. The day's so nice. It's helping a friend move. That's how nice it is.
Have you talked to somebody today that made $77 million in the day?
No, unlike this guy right here, huh?
Did you hear that story?
Journalism 101, the first thing you ask is, hey, are you about to sign a new contract?
Everybody.
Yeah.
Everybody, you do that. I mean, come on, man.
Hey, Mick, are you about to sign a new contract?
No, not even close.
There you go. So now we're learning.
Now we're good.
Dylan, you about to sign a new contract?
Not that I'm aware of, no.
Yeah, that would be a negative Ghost Rider.
Amon-Ra is my middle name, though.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Mick Amon-Ra, St. Brown, hey, Schaefer.
You score some big interviews. Well done there.
Thank you.
Do you skirt around the PR teams for all these clubs?
No, it's the PR teams that hooks them up.
They reach out
to me. The PR teams like the out-of-market guys a lot more than the in-market guys.
A lot of it, like, let's give some extra access to people that are hardly ever here. This guy never comes around and covers the team, but we're going to let him just hang out. In fact, he's going to shower with Andy Reid just because we want to give him extra access. This is really cool. Oh, you are there every single day? Oh, no. You stand over there.
Well,
go ahead,
they didn't know I'm not going to ask about the contract. That's why.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so if you're there every single day,
you would have asked around about the contract. Yeah. But were you told not to ask about the contract, or that was just you being a derelict of duty?
I have been... Not in this particular interview.
Okay,
not,
so you
but,
just dropped the ball.
Okay, yeah, don't let me have any
just
any
totally dropped
yet.
The ball on Amon-Ra St. Brown and breaking the news that he was 8 minutes late because he was signing his contract, and then you interviewed him, and then they break the news nationally that he's the highest paid wide receiver in the history of the NFL. But you do get to know that you were either the first person he talked to before signing that contract or after signing the contract, or the last person he talked to before signing the contract. You're one or the other. So that probably helps you sleep at night, right?
You know, I wasn't getting money from him either way, so I don't think it really matters that much.
It's a good point. It's a good point, yeah.
I like the St. Brown family, right? Because his brother, Equiminius, right, in L.A.?
Where is he now?
He just signed, I thought, with the Saints. Okay. If I'm not mistaken.
He's with the Saints, Pats.
And then his dad was Mr. Universe.
Yeah, his dad, this bodybuilder, and then like there's stories of him like age 8 like doing powerlifting. Like, you know, like pictures of him as a 10-year-old just flexing. It's like, good God, that guy's got a bicep bigger than a senior in high school and he's 10 years old, man. What the hell?
I asked him about his dad and what was it like? Would you do some tough regimens growing up? He goes, I just thought it was normal. Like,
yes,
he's like, this is all I knew.
Same.
I didn't find out it was different until
I thought always laying around on the couch and watching TV was just normal.
That was actually.
It's what everybody does. I just thought that was totally normal. My upbringing. Turns out it is. It is totally normal. So I lived a normal life, I guess. That's fun. But yeah, it is amazing, like the different ways people are brought up. Like it's just you having that regimented life, that sort of strict, you are disciplined in what you do during the day, and that's just simply what life is. It's what you know. And therefore, you know, oddly enough, they both make it to the NFL. Now, certainly there can be some burnout along the way to where all you want to do is not have that regimented mm-hmm. lifestyle. You get a little bit of freedom and whoop, I'm out.
That's why you don't have couches or video games in the house.
Exactly. No couches, no video, or beds, really. Right. I mean, you get a bed, now they sleep in later.
It's a cot. They get cots.
Not even that. You got to sleep standing up. So that when your eyes open up, you're like, all right, well, I guess I'm going to, what am I going to do? Just stand here?
After 6 hours, the bed then turns over and throws you out. You got to be
no
out
matter
by then.
What. And it folds up, so you can't, it's like the Jetsons. It folds up, it goes away.
Murphy bed.
It's a Murphy bed. Yeah, it's great. It's a Murphy shower.
If you watch cartoons back in the day, you were like, I'm either going to die of quicksand or a Murphy bed just slamming me into the drywall there.
You are so right about that. That is odd.
Everybody thought quicksand was just this.
Everything was
could be anywhere.
Right around the corner, quicksand, and you were done for. There was no getting out of it.
No.
It was a slower / quicker death, because slow enough to where you're knowing that you're going to die, but quick enough to where nobody can save you.
Yeah,
and it was always right around the corner. Why was quicksand involved in so many different cartoons and movies back in the day? I don't see it anymore. Do they not make quicksand anymore?
I thought you'd walk around Town Center and you had to just really be careful. Town Center was
you walked around your country club and you're like, oh, the sand trap. It might
the sand trap was actually why I was told don't hit into the bunker.
That's because right. You know, you as an 8-year-old, you weren't flexing. You were staying away from the bunker.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, I mean, help the golf game.
I was laying around on the couch watching people play golf.
I've never seen quicksand. I've never seen an anvil, I don't think, either. Those were big, popular in cartoons as well.
None of them have never fallen on your head?
What about a coyote running around? Have you seen many coyotes?
I've seen coyotes running around, but not at this, like chasing a roadrunner.
You know what I've never seen?
I've never seen a roadrunner.
Well, that's one.
I don't think I have either.
Yeah. I've never seen somebody run off of like a building or something, and then there's like a pause before they fall. I've never seen that. The run, they're just out there in open air. And then they look around, and then they go straight down. Like, I've never seen the pause like that.
You haven't seen them, like, fall in a phone booth all the way, and at the very end, they just step out?
Yeah, that's...
And the phone booth smashes to smithereens, and they just step right out.
I've yet to see that, but this was my life growing up. I really thought those were things that could happen.
Similar, but different. Do you think if an elevator was going down, just the phone booth conversation, mm-hmm. if an elevator's going down... If you jump right before
I've always thought about that, by the way.
You're supposed to lie down, by the way.
You're supposed to lie down. Is that
it
the real...
spreads out the impact across your body as opposed to just...
It breaks my entire bones instead of just a couple
maybe
bones.
Maybe that, yeah.
So now your entire body is broken instead of just your legs from the knee down.
Yeah.
I've always thought about that. What if I jump right before I...
You just got to know when.
The inertia... Yeah, you just keep jumping, just see what happens.
Hopefully the numbers would be... jump! I just would keep jumping over and over. I'm getting tired.
I don't know.
Well, there were 170 floors.
I don't know if you can rely on the numbers when the cable's cut and that elevator's falling to the ground.
It's not accurate.
No.
I was going to jump, but it said four. It said four. Really? The elevator that broke and was careening to your death that didn't give you the correct number?
Part of me wonders, is the inertia of the jump coupled with the you're going down so fast? He's about to like crush your dome against the ceiling. That's my other concern.
Yeah, I've always thought about that with plane crashes, too.
I did, too.
What if I just
jumped
jumped right as it was getting ready to hit the ground? Yeah, just jump up, because I know with all the force of it going down, I could totally just jump up.
Straight up.
Jump straight up.
Do you think you could... How would you get out of a car underwater? Would you roll your window down? Would you...
You have to wait until... I think they say wait till you're at the bottom, right? And then...
What if it's a deep, like, lake?
I don't know.
Why was I driving
fully
there?
Fully submersed, I guess.
Yeah, we're driving in the middle of the ocean.
Okay, we're talking about quicksand here,
I think it's you're... Wait till you're underwater. Well, don't wait if you can get out above.
Hold on. I know I can get out right now.
Our windows are open. Our doors are open. I'm going to need you to close the doors, roll the windows up. I've been told to wait till we hit the bottom.
I think they say, though, once you roll your window down, you're going to need to let all the water get in before you can get out.
Yeah, because then, you'd be fighting the current there.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm going to go ahead and risk it and hope that I'm never in that situation rather than studying how I would be able to get out of that situation.
Right.
It's probably not smart. There are plenty of people, like people on Survivor. They've learned how to live off the land and survive. That's why it's called that for a long time in many different situations. And so they're probably aware they may live longer. Also, they put themselves in some situations like that to have to know how to survive those things.
If you're a boxer, you kind of seek out fights.
Yeah. It's like, what am I going to do if my right orbital bone gets fractured by a punch? I'm probably not going to try to fight somebody, first of all, and I'm probably not going to have to waste time looking at that because I'm not a boxer, and so I won't do that. I'll try to talk my way out of it. You know, I will slay you with
words. You've been practicing and talking for a long time, buddy.
Slay you with my words, buddy. Bring it on over here. You are... All right, well, if you, apparently you're fighting. You didn't even let me talk to you. I couldn't even talk my way out of this, man. But sometimes there's just no talking. Sometimes your mouth does write a check that your body is not prepared to. Hey, Jason, this is your arms and your legs and your brain. We haven't been practicing for this. Just so you know, we aren't coordinated enough. But I'm glad the mouth went ahead and thought we were. Mouth's turning around like, whoa, you guys haven't been training? You should have told me that. Why didn't anybody tell me that you guys haven't been training? I would have stopped a while ago. I thought you guys were totally ready for this fight.
So anyway, good conversation with Amon-Ra.
Great job with Amon-Ra St.
How long
Brown.
Did you go?
About 10 minutes.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah, it's good.
It's pretty good. That's pretty good.
Have you played it yet?
No.
Is it embargo?
No. Oh. Jared Goff's, I think, comes off today. So I'm going to couple those. We're doing a podcast
comes golf today.
Why are they embargoing them?
You have to ask him.
Just some of the NFL draft stuff. Just some of that
stuff. Until after the draft?
Yeah.
Or?
Yeah.
So the questions about who does he think the Lions will draft, you definitely want to wait till after the draft to make sure.
I made sure to not ask those questions.
So it's really just like you can't play this until the draft is over?
So you interviewed a lot of Lions then? Or
just those two, actually. It was just a random one. That Jared Goff was presented by Jared at the Galleria of Jewelry.
Oh, you went to Jared?
He went to Jared, apparently, for his office.
You did, too, for an interview.
I guess I went to Jared.
Who was Amon-Ra presented by?
USAA, the military. Oh. And he was actually doing an event today, or tomorrow, with the military.
Okay.
It's a cool little sit-down he's doing with all the USAA members and a lot of military in Detroit. And he's a huge fan of USAA and the military in general because of the regimental schedule.
Yes,
He's like, I feel like I have a...
Very militaristic background.
Yeah, he's like, yeah, even though they weren't the military... He has that going.
Yeah, he probably would have known what military school was. He probably would have been able to an easier transition to military school rather than somebody who didn't grow up in a family like that. And like, you know, I'm going to give this old military school a try. I'm going to give this old boot camp thing. Let me see what this is about.
I'm tired of this life. I'm going to the military.
Yeah. This laying around on the couch and watching TV seems like it's boring. I'm going to the extreme opposite of that immediately and shock the system. Yeah, some people do it, and good for them. That's awesome. I appreciate them doing that. You know, I've been sitting over here.
Another thing you're not going to do.
It's
quicksand over there, bud.
I know. I have such a high appreciation for those that do that, that have that calling, and it's great, and it's awesome. And those with the USAA, because I sort of know my general disposition and sensibilities, and don't think I would have made it. I don't know. I've always thought about, like, what if I would have given it a try? Could I last through boot camp? Yeah, I don't know. And I figure if I was never really willing to actually give it a try, I probably couldn't have. I don't know.
No, you could have.
You think so?
I've known plenty of guys.
I know plenty of weak guys.
That have gone through boot camp, yeah. No, and
Todd's going through boot camp.
A lot of them that played sports were like, we kind of prepared, like football practice, that kind of stuff prepares you for it.
It's the long distance running that I don't want to do.
Yeah, especially like boots and carrying a backpack and stuff.
Yeah, that seems like it's extreme, you know. But that's also
Navy SEALs, though, we would all die.
The bell, like
I'd
the first
last
day.
Maybe 10 minutes.
The bell, ringing the bell, and it's like, all right, see you guys. Yeah. See you guys later. I'm going to go get a milkshake. But keep kicking ass, everybody. Good luck to you, okay? I'll be
Jason,
watching.
We didn't even start it. I know, but we had breakfast, and I didn't like it. Yeah. So I could tell what directions this is going to go.
The MRE
breakfast,
was
you had
not
to wait 40 minutes. Yeah. They only went at 30, it was 40. And
yeah, the MRE wasn't up to my standards, so it was a little powdery. So ding, 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 ding. You guys have some fun over there, okay? Bye-bye. Anyway, Amon-Ra St. Brown, that conversation. What a great one you had. That's awesome. Good for you, man. Mick, last night the Royals find a way to get a win when Vlad Guerrero finds a way to drop a baseball.
He didn't drop it. He didn't drop that. He whiffed on it, right? There's no dropping.
I think did it touch his glove?
I didn't even look like it touched his glove.
Either way, the door was opened and the Royals found a way to walk
whoever
through.
Whoever was running Chiron on the Royals broadcast actually turned the inning over. It said into the fifth.
Well,
and on the replay, they had to take it out and reset. I know how that machine works.
Yeah.
And that's how bad. I mean, it was such a routine play. The hardest part of that play, obviously, was cutting the baseball off by the third baseman.
Third baseman, yeah.
and making the throw, going, but it was a perfect throw, cut it off. And Isbell can run, but it's not like it's Bobby Witt Jr., so he didn't hurry it or anything. And he was going to be out by four steps.
Yeah.
And
like you see the play that
Frazier was Cadillacing around third.
No, it was Massey.
It was Massey, yeah. Massey
stopped at third, like, oh, I'm going to hand you my helmet. Yeah. Well, what's that? Oh, I was reading the Chiron. It said into the fifth inning.
Turned it over.
Sorry, you know, and then he ends up scoring. But like you see Vlad that misses that. And then Vinny's doing the splits over here, like he's training to be a Rockette, you know, and he's scooping it and getting
the
out.
Well, it's a tougher throw for him. I mean, yeah. For Vinny.
It was a tougher
splits,
throw than
a little bit.
Than Vlad Jr. had. Yeah. Interesting. Interesting there.
Was it not the throw to Vinny?
Oh, yeah. It was a much tougher throw. Yeah. I mean, much tougher throw. I was surprised at everybody's reaction to Vinny doing the splits last night because he's done the splits like 30 times, 40, like almost every time he's stretching forward, like he ends up in the splits, which is just amazing to see a man of that size.
Of that,
I keep track. It's a whiteboard, days without doing the splits, and he erased it last night to zero.
Weird, you had a number of times Bobby Witt Jr. jumps over Nick Lofton, right? Or was it vice versa? Was it Lofton go over?
It's at 13 now. Yeah. Days since Bobby Witt Jr. jumped over Nick Lofton. He's down in the minor leagues, so...
He is. It's going to be tough now. It's going to be a hell of a jump.
Yeah, I wish I wouldn't have started that, because I feel like every day I have to keep if I would have just did a tally of how many times, then that one would have stayed there. But I did the days since, and that's just dumb. But I did erase the days since Vinny Pasquantino has done the splits while digging out a ball to zero last night. So he does it often, man. That's one of the more impressive things is his flexibility as a first baseman, his size. And also, I know that, you know, the defensive numbers, are they better this year for Vinny than they've been in the past?
Oh,
or is that
are.
Exactly
oh,
what you're looking at?
They're insane.
Yeah.
Like a week ago, he already had like a three defensive run saved.
And I knew it was better than what it had been. This is where some ignorance comes in on my part of the advanced analytics. And so I don't want to, you know, sound like the noob or anything, but like I know the range and all of that stuff, but is there a metric to study, you know, digging the ball out, the range in which you're catching the ball in throws over there? Because
I would think there would be.
Vinny, I don't know the last time I saw him not short hop, not dig out a short hop. Like, honestly, it happens so rarely that we know the two times Nick Lofton didn't do it.
Yeah.
Like, we remember the two, because, like, Hosmer always did that. That was one of the things with Prado. He was always going to do
that. Short hops, a lot of guys can handle. Obviously, the long hops, guys.
Yeah.
It's that in-between, right?
The in-between is
Hosmer was amazing at it. And I don't think he did it the right way. I mean, he would just swipe the glove. I mean,
not dragging it across the dirt.
He just had this uncanny hand eye, and he just basically knew at what level this in-between hop was going to arrive at me, and just would just snag it.
Awesome.
I've never seen anybody better than Hosmer doing it.
But I also haven't seen. Sorry, Sterling. I don't remember one where Vinny just didn't dig it.
I'm looking right now. I don't see a specific stat just for digging, but just overall last year defensive run saves -2, -3, depending on which one you're looking at. This year already, as you mentioned, Mick, actually four by three different metrics, three different companies that have been trying to analyze defense. Vinny's...
It's like his credit score.
Well, he's like
three different companies and you add it together and average it.
98th percentile. For a first baseman, 98th. I mean, he went from bad to, again, smaller sample size, but...
One of the best.
One of the best, yes.
When, what is he, 6'4"?
6'4", 245,
And long arms, long legs to where you create short hops, right? Mm-hmm. You can turn those medium hops for a lot of guys that are, you know, 5'10", 6 foot. You can turn those into short hops that are much easier to pick.
And how many times has his stretch, because he's really good at stretching all the way out to get a throw, not even on the short hop or digging it out, just the stretch out, has saved an out? Yeah. Michael Wacha last night. Wacha sort of took his time. Which is fine, took his time, and then threw a
bullet
over to Vinny. But Vinny stretching way out towards Wacha, it was, by a couple of inches where the foot was about to hit the bag?
Over the bag when it entered the glove.
If he's not stretched out that far, that's an infield single. And who knows what I have been overly impressed with what I've seen from Vinny Pasquantino at first base. And that was supposed to be to where his bat was going to make up for his inability. his inefficiency at first base. And if he's anywhere near the, and I'm not expecting him to be in the 98th percentile of runs saved as a first baseman, okay? But if he's anywhere near that, and the way that he's swinging the bat, I mean, you've got one of the best in the game right now. First,
in a descending streak last night, but he had a couple balls hard. I could have easily extended it last night with the way he's swinging. So just continues to be one of my favorite players on that team. And good for the Royals. You know that that cost them a run. They still had to get another runner on, and then hit a two out double to bring in two runs, and so they got that done. It wasn't like just that one colossal mistake gave them three runs. No, it gave them life. Mm-hmm. It extended the inning, but it made it 2-1 at that point.
Yep, absolutely, and I think that's a great point. Is the door was open and the Royals took advantage, and it was Garcia who'd been struggling, and he sees one fall in. He had an awesome plate appearance with, 9 pitches, 10 pitches, whatever it was earlier, and then he goes and has that one fine grass, and then Bobby Witt is so pissed at that baseball.
Ambushed it.
Just that baseball said something about Bobby Witt's family, and he wasn't having it. And so he hit 100 miles an hour.
Appreciate the changeup right in the middle.
100 miles an hour down the line, which great placement. Because if you're going to hit 100 miles an hour, then don't hit it right at somebody. That would be stupid hitting.
Unless, I mean, they position a guy on the line.
then just,
which I don't think you can. I believe that's called a fielder's balk. I've seen that called before. If you put, if you're other than the catcher, if you have even a foot in foul territory.
Interesting. Well, they're just
more you know.
Their feet are just lined up on the line, so just one foot in front of the other, as close as they can get, sort of like they're surfing the line.
Yeah.
By the way, have you talked to Penei Sewell today?
I have not talked to Sewell today.
Okay, so Penei Sewell just signed a contract to be the highest paid offensive tackle in NFL history.
Wow,
I know Jared Goff's pretty close to signing a contract too, so that would be.
So Penei Sewell now becomes the highest paid offensive tackle in NFL history, almost $90 million guaranteed for Penei Sewell. They just gave $77 million guaranteed to Amon-Ra St. Brown.
This is Lions news ahead of the draft.
Yeah.
Well, wonder if it's pre-planned there.
Was that a requirement? Were you supposed to sign big contracts the day before you host the draft? Because the Chiefs missed that memo.
I don't think the Chiefs, did they have anybody last year?
They didn't get that memo last year, you know? Not sure what happened on that, but... But, yeah, so there you go. But Penei Sewell, $112 million deal, but almost 90 of that is guaranteed. It's a pretty high number. And Amon-Ra St. Brown.
So the guaranteed money's the most?
Yeah.
Because it's been higher than 112, right? Because Trent Williams was he 130 or something like that?
I'm just reading the bottom line when it says the highest paid offensive tackle, okay? I'm just trusting that they're correct on that. But Amon-Ra St. Brown is the highest paid wide receiver in NFL history. So he signed a contract, 4 years, 120. So that's $30 million per year, which ties Tyreek Hill. But what makes him the highest is that the guaranteed dollars is $2 million more than Cooper Kupp's $75 million, which is the most ever. So he has the most ever guaranteed dollars and tied for the most annual average value.
Where does he rank? As far as receivers.
Number one in contract.
Dude, he had over 1,500 yards last year, 10 touchdowns. He was first team All-Pro. He's only 24 years old. He's 24. He turns 25 in October, end of October. He is the most underrated, in my opinion, underrated wide receiver because he's not this burner. He's not this huge guy. It's like DK Metcalf makes all these great plays, but... you're taking Amon-Ra St. Brown over DK Metcalf in a heartbeat.
You don't want the guy that's huge and fast and makes great plays.
I want the guy that goes for 1,500 yards and who perpetually puts up numbers and is a great teammate.
There's that part.
Yeah.
Okay.
I didn't know he must have come out early, right? So this is his fourth year. Or is going into Amon-Ra.
He's heading into his fourth year. He's played 3 years already. Yep. He's 3,588 yards in 3 years.
Wow. And to your Penei Sewell point, he's younger. He's like, was he when he came out? He was like 19 or 20 when he came to the draft.
Yeah. So there you go. It's not the highest ever because Trent Williams signed a $138 million contract. But I'm trying to find the guaranteed dollars on that.
In the NFL, didn't say in history, so maybe right now he's the highest paid. Whatever Trent's making, I don't know.
I figure in today's day and age, if you're the highest paid tackle in the NFL right now, wouldn't that make you the highest paid tackle ever? I figure right now, I can't imagine.
Where's Trent Williams in his contract?
Well, where's the AAV? I'm looking it up right now in SpotTrack.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Maybe just the
SpotTrack, by the way, just changed
this year. He makes more money.
Trent Williams is averaging $23 million AAV. Actually, Andrew Thomas makes more AAV than Trent Williams at 23.5, because Trent Williams, it was a six-year contract.
Yeah, it was 6 years.
So this is probably 23.501.
Yeah, he's got 3 years left on that deal, does Trent Williams, right? Yeah.
It ends in 2026.
Yeah, so 3 years left. So there you go. But what's the guaranteed dollars?
Looks like guaranteed for Trent Williams was only $40 million. Only 40 of the 138 was guaranteed at signing.
So what's the most in guaranteed dollars?
Looks like Andrew Thomas was the most guaranteed at $67 million.
Yeah, so what, Penei Sewell is almost $10 million more than what was the most?
Which, crazy, because Laremy Tunsil was the previous highest before Andrew Thomas, and his was only $50 million guaranteed. Yeah. So we're starting to see a lot more guaranteed for tackles.
Oh, sorry. Penei Sewell's $85 million guaranteed. So
$18 million. Wow.
$18 million more guaranteed than what was the previous highest tackle in the NFL.
Oh. And isn't he playing right tackle as well?
Correct. I'm looking at Decker all tackles right tackle. Now. Yes, correct. Yep. That's right tackle. I'm looking at all tackles right now.
So we're off the hook for...
there you go, huh?
What's his name?
Juwan Taylor.
Juwan Taylor. Yes, there you go.
What's his name?
So important.
Yes, what's his name?
Ball start.
Love that. What's his... hold on, Dylan. Hold on. We're talking about Juwan Taylor, okay? Hold on.
Hold on. Don't fall start on this
Don't
comment.
Don't go too quick. Okay.
Collinsworth hasn't reminded me of the fact that it's Juwan Taylor.
Guys.
So it's not Thursday night. So.
I'll tell you what, guys.
Don't try to backpedal out of that comment, okay?
I know there was not a great setup to get into this.
Oh, darn it.
But Juwan Taylor's sixth highest paid in value, AAV, and guaranteed money at contract for any tackle
for
left
all
and
tackles,
right.
Yeah.
I guess seventh now since with Sewell, but...
tell you what, once they get Fashanu at pick 16, whew, that's mighty nice bookend tackles. We'll take time out, come back. More than next. All right, we continue right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Mick Schaefer hanging out with us.
Hi.
It's presented by Empower Payments. Why settle for ordinary merchant services when you can give to charity with every transaction with Empower Payments? Visit EmpowerPayments.com today. Go ahead and visit that.
We'll do. You know,
all right. Good. Great.
He's my neighbor. Brady's my neighbor, so I can just visit his house.
How about that?
Like, my Wi-Fi's down, and I'm just knocking on his door. Just tell me about it.
Yeah, I don't know. Do you ever go over to his house and then get online at empowerpayments.com?
I feel like that.
Let's look at it together.
It's like a human website. At his house, I can just take my cash and I see how the whole thing works behind the computer screen.
Here, do technology.
My social security number is, and I just say it aloud.
He actually shows up and he's like, actually, I'm a Jordanian prince. And yes. You have been selected out of over 5 million people. Congratulations, I just need your social security number and then your bank account, and that thing is going to be filled. Why are you at my front door? Because you've been chosen. You know, you're the chosen one. It's awesome, man. Good for you.
For that.
Good for you, dude. Visiting with Mick Schaefer, 913-912-4810. News that's happened today. One, Penei Sewell signs a huge contract, the most guaranteed dollars for an offensive tackle in history. Amon-Ra St. Brown signs a huge contract, the most guaranteed dollars for a wide receiver in history. And Reggie Bush got his Heisman back.
He did.
He got his Heisman back. So now Reggie Bush reinstated with the Heisman Trust. They now have given back his key to the Heisman House, which is great because now he can show up. He doesn't have to be invited there. He can just live there now at the Heisman House. It's a long time coming. But I'll be honest, I'm a little surprised that they did it. I'm in agreement
why'd
that they did.
Why'd they wait this long? I wonder.
One, why'd they wait this long? And then two, if they were just going to be stubborn and be like, no, he's already lost it. We're not giving it back, after the fact. No, we've already made our decision.
They caught a lot of flack for the rest in peace OJ post from the other day. So I'm wondering if it's like, okay, is there one way we can make up for that? Oh, yeah, there is one way.
So it's one out, one in? That was a question. I don't know. Is it?
Maybe that's
we
how
now
we do
have
it.
Room in the Heisman House for
that's
Reggie Bush to bring
it.
Back.
I think you stumbled onto something.
I don't know how the Heisman Trust works. I would have given the Heisman back a long time ago. especially when what he did gets me getting for a while. You know, I mean, now the question is, like,
if all the Heisman don't fit, you must have quit in the house.
That makes sense. Yeah. I don't know that it makes sense, but it makes sense in my mind. You know, and that's really all that matters because we're the ones having the conversation right now. I know that the Heisman is different than the NCAA, but if we're able to go back and do some of these things and go, all right, we're allowing this to happen now, even though it was against the rules then.
Are you talking about Louisville?
I'm just talking about banners in general. Like, at Syracuse, you're fine. Here's your Final Four banner back. You know, at Memphis, all good. You played in that championship game. I know you didn't shoot free throws, but you did play in the championship game. You didn't play in overtime. You forgot that there was an extra 5 minutes
there, right? For like
plenty of time served.
16 years, you were maybe embarrassed by it, or you had to go through all that. Time served.
Plenty of time served. Banner, get it back. Anything that's stripped wins. KU, get your wins back. You know, get those wins back for KU. Now they're ahead of Kentucky again. You know, now they get those Bill Self wins that they had to vacate.
Did they not pass him back yet this year?
Not yet, no. Yeah. No, they passed him in the game. It's like a NASCAR race.
It is.
They got docked one lap.
Run too wide.
We are wide open right now. Going in for four tars and Sunoco fuel. But yeah, go ahead and give them back. Give the wins back. Give the banner back. Because it was stupid to begin with. Because we know they played the game. We know it happened. The banners especially, like, you know, if you want to take away the wins, whatever. Bill Self was oddly, like, okay with it. Like, when we talked with him, and he was like, it was a rule. And that was, they found us to be against the rules. It was a rule. So we lost the wins. And we move on. Yeah. And we move forward.
And just knew there could have been a lot more.
Yeah. I mean, at that point, you sort of just take it. You know, like, all right, well, this is the penalty.
And, I mean, when you're in the middle of it, and I think you're way more pragmatic about it, like, nah, we played those games. I don't care what somebody else says.
Right.
We played those games. I had a full scouting report. Right? Norm over here designed it. And we traveled. There's planes and buses and everything, sweat and tears. All that stuff happened. So
Norm came up with the whole thing. I did. I was there.
And it's not like every day opens up a NCAA record book to look at stuff, right? I mean, everybody just remembers stuff, right? We don't need an encyclopedia to be like, wait, that was in 2019? No, we just have a Google search or our minds.
But I do love that, like, whenever, like, the NCAA will put out, like, a tweet or something of, this is the first time that the NCAA champion or whatever since blah, 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 and then they name the other ones and then they list, like, 2013 with Louisville that won the championship. It's like, hold on.
They do.
But, like, there's been so many tweets like that people are like, so the social media recognizes it, but the NCAA, there's a disconnect between the NCAA offices that say you vacated it and then the social media that's like, look at all these teams that did this. Oh, Memphis in 2008. No, they didn't.
Because that intern Googled it and the intern did not.
Yeah, exactly.
That's
right.
I mean, UMass.
He wasn't born then.
It's like, how did Marcus Camby get that necklace? I think we're going to take your entire season away. You had a gold necklace. I don't think he should have a gold necklace. He can't afford a gold necklace. That's too much money for that guy. Sorry.
I'm sure the current state of college athletics and NIL and it just being Wild West now was a big reason for that, was maybe an impetus for them giving the Heisman Trophy back to where, like, okay, this is nothing. This is the 80th guy on the roster getting these benefits now that Reggie Bush got.
I will say it is a little. I'm all for the NIL and I'm all for the transfer portal. Okay, I know people have different opinions on it. I know.
But wait, they can. I mean, we talked about this one time. We thought it was they can only do it once. You can transfer portal as many times.
Yeah, just have fun with it. You know, let's do it. Let's boogie here. But it is a little jarring when it's like, so-and-so from that has entered the transfer portal, according to his agent. That is a little jarring at this point, how quickly it's gone from if you have an agent, you're never allowed to touch a college basketball or football again. In fact, if you do, you lose a hand if you hire an agent.
What's worse than that? If you just sought out one,
that's
right?
That's right. You talk to an agent, right?
Yeah. You're like, oh, no, now you're in the draft.
In baseball, they allowed you to have an advisor. Because you could still return to school, but you couldn't have an advisor in basketball or football or anything else that you were drafted in, or then you would lose eligibility for the rest of your life and your child's. That was a little extreme. That's punishing the son for the sins of the father, but they really wanted to make sure that you didn't have that. And now people are transferring via their agent. We know he's transferring because his agent told us, and he's seeking out $500,000. That's the going rate for so-and-so.
And used to, it was like, if you said you were declaring for the NBA draft, you were in the draft.
That's
that
right.
was it. There was no going back. You've nope. declared. Then they added layers like, okay, if you don't hire an agent.
Okay, but
and
by
then you
decide
by
date,
May 30th, and, now it's like, this come date. Back.
Now it's like, you're drafted, but do you like your draft spot or not?
Right. Oh,
just fill out a form.
Oh, is it New Orleans? Okay, yeah.
Hey, Jarrett Sutton was in the building earlier.
Wow, man.
Jarrett, Mick Schaefer said that. I don't know where you are right now, but
he's
Jarrett,
not in the building.
He was earlier. He was earlier, like around 11 o'clock. He was walking around here looking all beautiful and stuff. Like, oh, it doesn't matter what I wear or if I have a hat or my hair or if I just woke up. Or I've been running for
you
know, 7 hours.
You were drafted by the Pacers. You know, oh, wait, Jarrett worked for them, too. Dang it.
Okay, fine. Mizzou. Son of a gun.
Oak Park.
Okay,
dang
Oak Park.
It, Oak Park.
You beat me to Oak Park. Typically, it'll beat anything. I'm joking, Oak Park. Don't come at me, Northman.
Or the Okies.
Or Charles Oakley. Oak trees.
One of our failures in city planning, by the way, in Kansas City was to have Oak Park Mall nowhere near Oak Park High School. That baffled me for a good 6 months to a year when I first moved here that long ago.
So with you. It's like, where's Oak Park Mall? It's got to be near the high school, right? You would think.
45 minutes, maybe.
you would think. It's a bus ride and an Uber before you finally get there.
A whole other state, too. And the differences, I mean, one state you can smoke weed, the other you can gamble at way different states. These might as well be on East Coast and West Coast, Kansas and Missouri.
Let's just say one side would have to worry about a tax for a stadium. One spot would and one spot wouldn't. Let's just say that.
You brought up the smoking on one side and gambling on the other, which brings up my genius bar idea, which is on state line.
Absolutely.
But to do it, you can't go through the road. You build a...
Over.
Over, yeah. You build like an over. So you thought of this too.
I have. I think great minds think alike, and I think that was a kind of an easy thing to come to.
Whoa!
Thing, but,
great minds, and what Mick is saying, like, that's a generic mind.
Yeah.
That's not even a beautiful mind.
Great on my part, easy on...
Yes. Ah. Great that you thought of it immediately.
But
easy
you would have to, I mean, you would have to have whatever... You know, in your mouth, and then hold the phone out across the line.
But there's that right? that geofence ain't working like that.
It's not that accurate.
Hell no, it ain't that accurate, man. Hell no, I was over at where was I at state line? But I was on the Kansas side of state line, and I'm like, it won't let me log on. Like, I'm trying to place a bet right now. I gotta place a bet. What am I doing? Dude, 1-800 bets off. No, I gotta do it right now. I'm gonna get in the car. I'll be back in 5 minutes. That didn't happen, but what did happen is it would not let me place a bet. It kept saying, searching, location is not in.
Yeah.
I'm like, no, I'm on the... I don't know that I would move there. Like, it's a little too close. Like, that's the close. Geofence, like, it feels like you're riding the fence at that point, that they're kind of deciding. It might
it's
be...
a gray area.
Might be which way... Yeah, it's Amsterdam. Like, you're just right there, and there's no action. You can't even... If you get too close to the state line on the Missouri side, you can't smoke weed, actually. There's that fence, too.
There's that just, fence.
It immediately extinguishes
the...
just snuffs it out. I can't even light it over here. There's no lighter fluid in this. It's everything is just gone. It's the
blunt
the
turns
atmosphere.
To ash. It just falls out of your mouth.
Yes. It's like your grandpa that used to just hold the cigarette in his mouth that had the entire cigarette was the ash, which is a party trick. I mean, that you might as well be in the circus right. if you could do that. We'll take a time out, come back. More Zone next. All right, we continue right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Coming up tonight, we got a little best of, but then at 7 o'clock, the Sporting KC show. 8 o'clock, she's on the mic with Bethany Bowman, and then Covell Hudson wraps up the night at 9 o'clock with a little sports night with Covell tonight at 9 o'clock. But the program comes your way when we are done here at 2 o'clock. Mick Schaefer presented by Empower Payments. Royals get the win last night. We'll see if Alec Marsh will go to the mound and continue that trend.
You will.
I have the trend of
decreed
winning.
It. I have directed it.
There you go. The bullpen.
Sports director.
Here's what you should do. Just get to the bullpen.
Man.
They should throw more bullpen innings. Johnny Holstaff every single night. You know, make Michael Wacha and Reagan's bullpen guys. And then all of a sudden, unhittable. Unhittable.
I feel like they trade off weeks, though, being unhittable. Unhittable, though.
Yeah. This was a rough go-around through the rotation for the starters. But the bullpen, you know, in the last four games has been just unbelievable. Ready. 18 2/3 with two earned runs.
Ready
given
for
up.
The lineup to turn their bats around. And maybe that's the problem. Just turn the bats around. They're hitting. They're gripping on the barrel.
Why are they? You think the handle is smaller surface area? It's hard.
Yeah, but they've scoring runs was so easy for them. They needed a challenge. See?
Yeah.
Yeah, don't swing like that.
It's so easy to do. You grabbed it wrong as well.
I'm just left-handed. That's why.
Mm-hmm. Oh, do you throw and swing left-handed?
No, throw righty, bat lefty.
That's what my son does.
I feel like you guys have had this conversation before.
I don't know that we have.
Okay.
I didn't know you were a lefty batter.
He doesn't listen very well.
Dylan, did you throw right, bat left?
Righty, righty. Right, left-handed, though, so, you know, missed
really?
Out.
That's right. I remember you telling me that.
Kick left-footed, too. So.
Should have thrown left-handed.
All-around weirdo.
Yeah, so you're right, left-handed, kick left-handed, but you didn't. If you threw left-handed, you'd be pitching tonight for the Royals, Dylan.
That's quite a stretch, but I appreciate you.
Yeah, I mean, you put that, your success from the right side, you make that from the left side unhittable. Yeah, like Mick.